Hello, World Walkers. Yes, I'm talking to you. Welcome to World Talkers, an Evermore fan podcast. Lend us your ear, learn something new, and develop a mutual obsession. Goblins, dragons, charismatic executioners, and more await as we unravel the secrets that lay beyond the portal of Evermore. Well, welcome to episode one of our podcast. I am Daniel, and I guess I'm just kind of opening this sucker up. We'll get into introducing everyone who's here at the table. I guess just a few things for you to know about me so you can know how much I love what this podcast is. I've been to this Evermore Park that we're going to be talking about half dozen, maybe a few more times, and I absolutely love it. The guys that are here with me collectively have been there like 1,000 billion times. So they've got way more experience and a lot of knowledge to share about what this thing is. And so we'll just kick things off with the audio designer behind this.
Wyatt. Yeah, that's me. I'm Wyatt. I'm here with my best friends. I'm excited to bring you this podcast. I think the world of Evermore is something super fascinating, something super fun, and something that I think I've always been wanting ever since I started playing Dungeons & Dragons. It's just like an continuation of that. So I'm stoked. We'll just toss it on over to Chandler, I guess.
Hey everyone, I'm Chandler. I am here to have a good time, and I think that's also why I go to Evermore Park, to hang out and have fun with my friends. I love talking and being up close and personal with the characters and with the other people that we go with, and I am really excited to get this podcast going.
I'm Skylar. I'm also really excited to be talking about this. As Dan mentioned before, I've been to Evermore quite a bit. Know quite a lot about it. Also, still don't know a lot about it. That's what's super great about Evermore and why I'm really excited to talk about this podcast. That no matter how much you go, your experience is so individualistic and unique that there's always more to learn and always more to experience.
Yeah, it's a really unique place, which is why we're super excited to be doing this thing. Because, like we said, this is in our little intro, like this is something that we are going to be delving into with you as we are figuring out what Evermore is and who we are there, who the characters are there, what the stories are that are being told there. And this episode, we're hopefully going to be able to lay just a fundamental groundwork of why in the world, one, are you even listening to this podcast, and two, what this park is that we've been talking about and that we want you to be able to experience as well. So I guess just to get things started, guys, what is Evermore?
That's a very good question. There's a couple different descriptions that people have given and that even the park has given and like some of the employees have given. But basically, Evermore is an immersive, interactive fantasy theme park.
Mm-hmm.
But also performance. I don't know if I really explained that very well. It's kind of difficult to explain because Evermore is so unique. Because it's like a play. It's like a theme park, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure, like
choose-your-own-adventure kind of style.
I mean, for me, what surmised it for me, I mean, my first time that I went to Evermore, I'm walking around, I'm getting to know the characters, and it just kind of hit me like a light bulb. I'm like, this is a large-scale murder mystery party that your college friends threw for you that one weird night, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm Shooty McTwoshoes, and I'm the murderer, you know? And you have to find out who it is, and there's mystery involved, and most of what you're doing is talking to the other people about who they are and what information they have to give to you.
Yeah.
And putting it into that mindset for me was like, duh, that's what Evermore is. It's just a giant murder mystery party. But for other people, it means different things. And I think that's why Evermore is so unique, and what is Evermore is kind of a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, I totally agree. That one is really difficult. So basically, we have a lot of different definitions. We said an immersive, interactive fantasy theme park. For me, what that means is that I can walk to this place here in Pleasant Grove, Utah, where we can interact with people who obviously are actors, yet they are 100% there in this Victorian era European village in the 1800s. I mean, they have accents and they are actors who are trained to be that person. And if I can walk into this village, which to me feels real, and get to know these characters, or rather these people, because that's what they are people. To me, that's why it's so cool, is because this is a real place set up here in 2019 in Utah, of all places.
And I think that's very good, and I love that description because it is very accurate. And that's why when I was kind of giving my description, that I hesitate to use theme park, because there's not really rides. Like, I mean, they intend to have a train that's still under construction that is going to come, but I still wouldn't necessarily classify that as like a ride. That's not like a thrill-seeking thing.
As I understand, the train is Disneyland-ish, where it's like it goes around the park and gets you from place to place. You wouldn't think of it as a ride, more as a means of transport around
the park.
A people mover of sorts, like a carriage or something.
And speaking of Disneyland really quick, something that's interesting about Evermore is that some of the brains behind it have been involved with things like Disney, like on that scale. So when you're thinking of Evermore, this isn't just a weekend LARPing session that a bunch of nerds have put together. I mean, a bunch of nerds have put the thing together. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, there is so much passion, but also so much experience that's going into the park that, like, you walk in and you really do feel like you have been transported to another place. It's super amazing. Like, we as a few guys here, we play a bunch of video games, we play a bunch of Dungeons and Dragons, and like, we get into those things. We put ourselves into the story and we really care about what is happening to the people that we're interacting with, and figuring out what in the world is going on, and fighting the bad guys and doing our quests and leveling up and doing all of these things. And you might not be leveling up in Evermore, but you're certainly learning people's histories and backstories, just like you would when you're making a new friend at kindergarten. Like, you can just walk up to these people and be like, hey, we're basically going to be best friends now. And you can just get to know these characters, not as just actors playing a figure, but really as a true individual that has life in him. It's really, really fun.
And that is the part that is so unique about Evermore. And exactly why I love Evermore. And I'd also like to put out there and put this shout out there, because, and say the big thank you to Ken Brentschneider. He kind of thought this all up, and this was his idea and thing to do, and I'm sure there were others involved, but he's the one that got this started. And when he's had interviews and stuff, they ask him why he did it, or he's explaining why he did it, and he said it's because he loves stories.
Yeah.
Don't we all? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, all the good stories, the fights, the flights, and the loves, and the weird dumbs. So yeah, I don't like, as you were saying, like, that's the story, that's the purpose of going to Evermore, and what you are doing there is talking to the characters. If you're going to kind of just go look around, the place is very beautiful, the buildings are very beautiful, and the setting is so beautiful and very immersive.
Yeah.
But the thing that you're doing is talking to these people and creatures there in Evermore.
Yeah, that is very true. Like, from week to week, things at Evermore can change, and you are never certain if the next time you walk in, there's going to be some wild new creature or some awesome new costume change that they've done on some person. Like, for example, there was this funky little hunchbacked goblin in the first season, and we'll talk more about what those things are in a bit, but in the first season that was called Lore, this guy just had a bunch of big bags piled on top of him.
Pumpkins.
It looked super duper fun, very thematic, because it was late 2018. We were in that October November season. But then once they got into this most recent season that we've been in for now, and again we'll talk more about what that means, it's called Aurora. It's a little more Dickensian, a little more Christmassy themed. The guy's got a bunch of gifts piled on top of him, and that was something that I didn't see coming. I was like, maybe they're just gonna keep him the same, or they're gonna retire him. No, like, the park is constantly reinventing itself, and so going just once is totally fine, but if you can get there multiple times, you're going to be able to not just experience a single story one day, but an entire story arc unfolding in actual story, and also through just the design of the park. It's
it's kind of brilliant, and I'm a real big nerd about it. It's real cool. It's real, real cool.
It also doesn't just manifest in the characters and their costumes, mm-hmm. but also in the quest lines, in what the characters are asking you to do. Because I think what a really cool thing about Evermore is, what you actually do is, yes, you go and interact with these people, these creatures, mm-hmm. and you say, hey, howdy, I'm your new best friend. And they're like, well, hey, new best friend. And you have this beautiful little relationship with that person, right. but all relationships require some sort of favor, or you ask something of someone.
You got to build on it.
You build on it.
Just like you would with any other person. Like, if you're going to get to know them, you learn by doing things with each other, for each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what drew me in and what helped me understand was getting to know some characters in the park that asked me, like, hey, I need this thing, or I want to go talk to this girl, but I'm too nervous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'll go talk to her. I got you, bro. And it suddenly turned into this moment of like, oh, I'm helping my best friend. And then I got, you know, like a small trinket as like a reward, but that wasn't the reward for me. The reward was like, I helped Sephtis, the executioner, who is the coolest guy in the park, you know, mm-hmm. who's my best friend now.
Yeah, I love that. That is something so unique. And I think that's why a lot of people have a hard time. I mean, what do you guys think? I find a lot of people have a hard time getting an understanding Evermore, because mm-hmm. in today's society, kind of, we don't connect with people. I mean, we obviously
on
do.
On that face-to-face level,
yeah. Especially me walking up to a complete stranger and asking, hi, what's your name? What do you do here in your village? And kind of those things. It can be quite uncomfortable for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. And that was actually something that got me at the very beginning when we first went to Evermore. Like, the first 2 to 3 times that we went to Evermore, I was confused. Like, I was mm-hmm. kind of pretty much lost. And as I look back on it, that was like a lot of the fun too. There was some frustration that came from that, but overall it was a part of this really great learning experience. But I ended up having to, at least for me, because as you said, it is like talking to people, walking up randomly and introducing yourself. I'm not very good at that. I'm very introverted and mm-hmm. very self-contained. And even, and that was part of the blunders, is a couple times I went and I would talk to people on my own and it would just be awkward I'm just like, hi, what's up? So, like, what's a cool place here in Evermore? And they're like, I don't know, over there. I'm like, okay, bye.
I think we all giggle because we understand.
Yeah.
It's essentially your first time at Evermore may feel like the first time you went on a date with somebody, and it's super awkward and you're just kind of stumbling around trying to find the right words to say so you can fall in love. But maybe it doesn't happen super easily, so maybe you go home and cry to your mom, or maybe that's just me. But...
No.
But I would say that something that's really awesome about figuring out sort of the quote-unquote like how to Evermore is that not only do you go there to want to get to know characters, but the characters are there to also get to know you, because we play a role there as world walkers. That's what they call us. Like, we are world walkers to them. We are people from a different time that are walking through a portal into their world, and they're just as interested by us as we are by them. So if you are uncertain about what to do, or you look really lost, chances are there will be an Evermorian that'll come up to you and ask you questions about how things are going for you and what things you've tried to do. And like, you're more than welcome to, one, be totally lost there, but know that people are going to want to be a part of your experience there.
I just want to just piggyback on what you're saying and say that the actors, the characters, the people in the park that are designed to be there are super interactive, mm-hmm. and they do want to talk to you, and if you dress weird or have something fun about you, they'll point it out and be like, oh, you world walker dress funny, or you say funny things, and they create these moments that you can interact with them. Very mm-hmm. much what Daniel said, it is getting to know the characters, but these characters in a way want to get to know you. You're a stranger in this world, in their world, and mm-hmm. props to the actors for being so willing and so open to be there for us world walkers. talkers.
Yeah, definitely. We've kind of explained a lot about what is Evermore. Mm-hmm. And we said that it was this interactive, immersive place where you can go and kind of experience a Dungeons and Dragons-esque situation, kind of a video game. You're not necessarily leveling up, but you are there trying to figure out what is going on. It's very story based, and there is a story going on. Mm-hmm. We talked about how you walk around and connect with these people, and that's what I love personally. I'm getting to know these people's names and for them to remember mine. I've had so many experiences where I will be walking up and they will remember my name. Oh, Chandler, it's wonderful to see you through the portal again. Thank you for coming back. And having those relationships change the dynamic of the story, perhaps either because I have earned their trust or maybe not. They will either give me information or less so.
Yeah.
Because of how we have interacted.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing here is there's not a correct way to do Evermore. Yes, exactly. A lot of us do quests. Yeah, they have that thing. But if you want a fun time where you just go walk around and look at the authentic pieces that are there in the park, you can do that. If you want to go in and talk to the characters, or the Evermoreans, or whomever it may be, you can do that and get to know them. If you are looking for a social gathering place for other nerds like us, you can go there and this is home. You can go in a costume if you'd like. You can go as yourself. You can totally recreate yourself. And I think that's the beauty of this new type of park out there.
Absolutely. I think it's awesome. Like, it's not like we're four college dudes chilling in a room, but it is more than just a park for college-aged guys, college-aged whatever, adults. Like, this is a whole park that is built for not just us, but for kids to the extremely elderly. Like, anybody and everybody is welcomed through the portal. It's awesome.
And each one's going to have a different experience, which is also super fun to watch, to see all of these different experiences. And just for instance, just like a little small one. So Evermore set up in seasons, kind of like play performances or times. They have Lore, which is around October when Evermore first initially opened. And then they have Aurora, which is the winter season that we're currently in. And then come summer, they'll have Mythos. And these all have their kind of own separate story arcs and then interconnecting story arcs, which is an interesting fact, and I'm sidetracking here, but during Lore, when we went there, we were just kind of like wandering around, and then suddenly we were caught up in a ceremony. This little, like...
Oh my gosh. I love this. This is still one of my favorite moments in Evermore.
It's so good.
To not even happen to happen to us. Please, tell us.
And this is the fun thing that about Evermore, too, is that you can experience things kind of, like, vicariously or, like, happen upon these things that other people are doing. But this little kid got knighted by one of the guards that patrolled this town, and he got sworn into the service. And, like, it was such a fulfilling moment, like, just for me and, like, everybody. Everybody was like cheering, and it gathered this crowd because it was a very good, like, it was a ceremony. It was enjoyable. It felt regal. Like, I felt like I needed to stop. And the amazing, like, reaction that child had, and like the joy that he had, I felt that instantaneously as well. And that's when we were like, how do we do that? How do I become a knight? Like, I want to guard and patrol this town and to become knighted, as a lot of people I think have had that dream to just be, you know, to be a part of something and to feel like
to feel a part of it.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of that moment was not only was this little kid the most amazing knight, complete with his suit of armor and in a full knight getup, but also he had done these quests, I'm assuming with his father or a father figure, and, you know, he had proved his loyalty, his bravery, and the fact that he had this moment to himself where he was caught up in the story and became, like Daniel said, part of Evermore and part of Lore, and even for me to see that was like, yeah, how do I do this?
Yeah.
And I would like to not only become a knight, but become part of other people's lives in general.
I mean, if I remember right, that's exactly what we did. Like, we saw the kid get knighted, and we're like, okay, let's do it. And I think
we followed a 3-year-old kid.
It was as simple as going up to the guy who just knighted him and said, that was cool. We want to do that too.
We want to be 3-year-olds.
We want to be knighted too. And the actor was just like, yeah, like, duh, you want to, of course. Like, here's the things that you need to do. And we had to go to separate parts of the park to complete these tasks that he'd asked us to do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like we had some app that tracked, oh, we walked so many steps, we did so many tasks. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like on your honor / like you're fulfilling your duty. And the tasks themselves were pretty fun. Like, mm-hmm. one of them was to go visit a scary place and come out brave. One of them was to shoot some arrows that they had set up and hit a target. And the tasks weren't too hard, but they still gave you a meaning of fulfillment. And just like that little kid, when I personally knelt down and got knighted myself, I was just as thrilled. I was tickled to be a freaking squire, so, man.
We were kneeling, I remember this, we were kneeling on like rocks, and it was not comfortable, but I didn't care because the moment was so important and magical.
Oh yeah,
for real.
And that's why, and again, these moments that Evermore creates is why Evermore has the tagline that they do, which is enter the story. Mm-hmm. You are the protagonist in this story. You are the person that gets to make change and do things and be the spectacle. You are a star of the show.
And one of my favorite parts about that whole little ordeal that we went through is as we were going about attempting to prove our honor and join this brotherhood of knights and whatnot, we also happened upon the tavern that is in Evermore, the Crooked Lantern, where I may or may not have wagered all of the heads of everybody.
You totally did.
Of everybody who is with us to the town's executioner.
We have beef about that.
Which is how we ended up playing matchmaker for him and the local witch. It was like words can't describe how fun it was to be like trying to figure out we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do this to become a knight. And then to all of a sudden stumble upon a random game that took us off on an entirely different like side quest. And it all arose from him asking who wants to play a game, and I couldn't throw a coin in a cup. It was really, really difficult, but it was so much fun. And so like since that moment, whenever I go back to Evermore, I see the town executioner. I remember that first experience that I had with him. And and he remembers that experience that he had with me and with our group. And like that, it's just so cool. Like that was my 3-year-old becoming a knight moment. It was my adult wagering all of my friends' lives moment. It was a trial by fire, but I loved it.
What made it even better was the story that came after.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's like, I'm gonna chop off all your heads unless you play matchmaker. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, oh, dang, like you have interactions with other characters of this park? Because mm-hmm. what I had thought is like, oh, they are single isolated characters, single isolated stories that don't interact. Like you do one part of the park and you're done. There's nothing else there. Mm-hmm. But it surprised me how many times we went back and forth. Right. Like there's the park's open for 4 hours. Right?
It varies depending on the season. Typically around 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah. It is an open park, so it is like prone to the elements.
Yeah,
and the thing to me is I always found time to fill it, right? Because I was always running around doing something for someone on the other end of the park. It was always connected. Mm-hmm. If everything was single story, I don't think I ever would have went back. It would have been just a one day thing or 1 week thing.
Yeah. And that, again, like kudos to these actors. Mm-hmm. They make it extremely, and the writers even of these stories, they make it very intriguing that it feels like a very living, breathing town. And we use these examples of entering a book or playing a video game or playing Dungeons & Dragons or being in a play here at Evermore, but it just doesn't do it justice.
Right.
Because the best way to experience Evermore, in my opinion anyway, is to suspend your disbelief, to believe that you have entered this town. And they do a fantastic job with the props. They've flown to Europe and bought authentic articles and pieces, like real gravestones from people there. I think Chimneys was one of them. I'm not sure what all of it is, but it's integrated into these buildings and gives it this authenticity. And then on top of that, you have these amazing actors that can create these moments, these interactions. actions. And so that's when I learned at Evermore, when that clicked in my brain, when I rewired my brain to think, these are not actors. This is not a game. This is life. These people are in a town, and I've walked through a portal into a town, and I'm talking to this person. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you get those very intricate moments that you had with Sephtis, or that we have with other characters. Some, like, every character, every person in Evermore has a story. You may not think they're important. Maybe they're just the mailman, or maybe they're the tavern keep, or they're just wandering around town. They just inhabit the town and they live there. They have a story and they have something unique to share, and it gives you this bigger picture of what's going on. So you have these two options to explore the huge story, the kind of event, the spectacle story that you would. But then there's also these really cool small moments, small stories that you experience. And that for me is what makes Evermore.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite moments just most recently from this little past season of Aurora was it was Skylar and I, we were just chilling by this fire pit talking to the town historian. Her name's Gudrun. And there was another character there who I believe it's Eleanor. And we were having a good chat about people's hats in Evermore. And she decided to give us a quest to figure out what type of a hat some character was wearing, because we were arguing if it was a bowler or a top hat. And that is just one of the many things that you can anticipate having in Evermore, just random conversations with regular people in this world, and the wackiest things can come up out of just having a fun little conversation. It caught me off guard, but I was like, hey, this is why I'm here, is to take part in these fun little things that are for me. Like, no one else had gotten the top hat quest before, because it was made spontaneously by the actors. It was really fun.
By a real reaction. And and that's what we mean. I think I should just add this in there as well. That's what we mean when we go on quests in Evermore.
Yeah.
So it's more like real life things, because like in real life, you go on a quest to the grocery store. You have a goal in mind. You're helping out. You're trying to go get food or whatever and then bring it back in time. Something could go wrong. You could get in a car accident. Your tire could pop. Maybe you forgot your wallet at home. So you have to like go back and get it. That's basically what's going on here. But because it's like this fantasy environment that we're not like accustomed to, or this Victorian environment that we're not accustomed to, it's very exciting and interesting to get to know.
I personally always need people to get to go on quests for me to find my phone, to find my keys.
That's very accurate. Yeah.
Always. Quest to pick me up from work.
That's happened. Picked up Chandler, drove him to his car at work. It was really fun. It's like, how did that happen, Chandler?
I don't know if you guys have gotten the specific quest of waking up at 3 a.m. to go get Chandler from work. That, you know, that's a special quest.
Okay.
I had that quest pop up, but I kind of I ignored it.
Show something else. Yeah. Like sleep.
I was sleeping, but...
Yes, I mean, I guess in terms of like, when we do say quests at Evermore, I guess you could think of more as not just quests, but your own personalized little journeys. They're your stories that you're getting to take part in. It's really, really fun.
It's your life. Your Evermore life.
Mm-hmm. Or doing favors for a friend.
Yeah.
Right. That your friend Gudrun has asked you to go check out some hats. Why not, right? Because she's your friend, because she's asked you to. Why not participate in something so trivial? Because it would be fun.
It was entertaining. It was great to come back and be like, you know what? Hey, guess what? We were right. You were wrong.
You were wrong.
Sorry.
Suck it.
She was very nice about it.
We had a good laugh, and it wasn't some pre-programmed robotic thing like, have done it. You have done the quest. It was real people having a good time. And just reacting to us being willing to play a silly game.
To create a story, I think.
Yeah, together.
Honestly, to be in this environment and to create the stories of lore, of Aurora, well, hopefully of a mythos, right?
Come spring.
Come summer. Exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's literally divided in these three seasons, and they have decorations and around. Mm-hmm. They have the appropriate characters. For example, during the Christmassy kind of holiday season, they had carolers mm-hmm. roaming town, just singing time-appropriate music and honestly just making the whole place cheery. Mm-hmm. That's something unique about the park in the three seasons that they have so far.
Yeah, and yeah. conversely, during lore, they had vampires and stuff to Very make true. Things like creepy and scary.
Yep.
And again, they weren't there for jump scares. They were real characters that you could talk to, but they were creepy.
Like, and they would come out and get you.
Yeah, no, they would.
Yeah, they'd break you out. And the design on them is stellar.
Phenomenal.
You look at these things like I feel like I'm looking at the quality of costume that would be in a fairly well budgeted movie. Like this, like these look like not humans, very different creatures with their own special anatomies. It's really fun.
They have a whole creative studio making things like satyr's legs and mm-hmm. goblins' faces and ears, making it very much a professional, well-done, well-budgeted thing.
Yeah. I mean, and these Absolutely. Are full prosthetic masks that they're making. Imagine Mrs. Doubtfire, but she's a goblin, right? And then what's even better is that the actors convey that feel, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just some guy in a mask. It is Grimey the Goblin, and he is a trickster, and he will give you crap.
Yeah.
And you feel invested because...
He
will steal your gold, which I'm still not over.
Yeah, that one piece of gold that Wyatt got for doing the quest of hooking up Sethys with Wen, kind of. It got stolen.
It got stolen by goblins.
But that's part of the magic.
Yeah.
Goblins can't really be trusted. They like shiny things. They take shiny things.
And what's shiny? Gold.
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 Yeah. Gold.
But it speaks volumes to the costume and to the actors and to the design, the special effects of everything. Mm-hmm. It does really feel immersive and enriched, and this world is lived in. This doesn't create it out of thin air as much as it was. It was boom, boom, right there. Evermore Park, welcome to it. You know,
yeah.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It is important to note, we have done a great job hopefully explaining it and talking it up. It is worth noting that the park is very much new. Opened up very...
Still figuring things out.
So it opened in October of 2018. It's still very much under construction. They haven't opened all of the parts yet to the park, and they're still trying to figure out everything. And the great thing that I love is that they are willing to hear what their customers and their park guests would like, and they're trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
They're very receptive to feedback.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you happen to be somebody who's active on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, they have their, like, sort of, like, community groups that are on there, and people are active there talking with other fans, but also the actors, and the higher-ups that are running Evermore are parts of those pages, and they see those things, and they are, like, they take an active interest in what we think and what we kind of hope to see in the park. Now, like, I am not a higher up. I am not an investor. I do not sit at their round table. But, like, I can only be hopeful to think that all of the things that, you know, like, we hope Evermore to be, they're seeing that. And so from my experience thus far, a lot of the times they are. Evermore's still figuring out exactly what it is in terms of how much depth in a story can we have before it's overwhelming for the park guests, to how much do we want to push this thing as an amusement park full of fun, interesting little characters that you're just running around and seeing all evening. So I'm very excited to see where this park goes, just as much as I am just enjoying the ride for now. Like, that's this is my roller coaster, is just seeing where this thing is going.
I've always loved stories, and everything that I do is because I love stories, and I'm very much interested in the story of the people creating Evermore just as much as I am in the actual story of Evermore.
Yeah.
It, just like any good book, any good video game, or any good, like, movie or whatever form of media you want to have, there's so much interest to be had in this park and so much story to come, and that has happened already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's an exciting time here in Utah, in Pleasant Grove. The park is always changing, always trying to figure it out. They're not perfect by any means, as we are not also, and they have changed the ticket prices, for example. Yeah. They have done different things where they're still trying to figure out what they are. An important note, right now ticket prices are $22, and that was for the Aurora season that included ice skating as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which they built. They built an ice skating arena specifically for Evermore within their own park, which that's no small feat.
Oh, no.
And that is something about Evermore that is really cool, that they do adapt and change and grow and redesign a lot of things. Which must be insane for them. I can't imagine what their
logistically
schedule is. Yeah.
Must be, like, crazy. Because, like you're saying, not only does the story adapt, the scenery adapt. There are some, like, permanent fixtures, as we mentioned before, the Crooked Lantern. Almost forgot that. Wow.
The tavern.
Yeah, the tavern is tavern. Typically what I refer to it as.
Yeah.
Because it's the tavern for me. The one and only.
The one and only.
But they, like, for lore season, they had these giant pumpkins and, like, this huge, like, metal scarecrow that I don't, like, 20, 25 feet tall. It was crazy. But now that's gone, and they have this ice rink and a giant sculpture of a Jack Frost-esque head and beautiful lights. Like, just absolutely beautiful lights. And so everything changes.
And the most Instagrammable spot ever in all of Pleasant Grove, a giant ornament-like sculpture that is, you can go into it and take a picture from the inside. It's amazing. It's
any incredible part of this park is Instagrammable.
Oh yeah, totally.
And just one of the highlights, I think, for a lot of people going to Evermore, that's super viable for the social media likes, is that there's a small little hobbit hole-esque like building that they call the Burrows, and there are two dwarves in there. It's Turno and it's Lanny.
I don't know, the accents, a lot of the characters have super different accents.
I want to say it's Lenny. Turno and Lenny. And
I'm pretty sure it's Lonnie with an A.
We're gonna try to figure it out, but anyways, so they're super fun characters, because you can walk in there and they do song requests. And thus far, there hasn't been a single song that they haven't known, not just all the words to, but have also been able to do a parody on the song, like replacing things like, "I kissed a dwarf and I liked it." Sweet dwarf of mine. Like, bohemian dwarfity. Like, there's so many things that these guys do that's just super fun to go there for. So, like, it's actors, they've got entertainers. Earlier on, like last season in lore, they had fire eaters, fire breathers.
Yeah,
like,
that was awesome.
It was really cool.
Like, there is always something to go enjoy and see for everybody. Like, some people think, oh, this park might not be for me. I just don't know. Like, I say, give it a shot. Let it blow you away. Go there with an open mind. And it will, I don't even know how to say it, but it will change you, man.
It will, because they're so invested in making realism. They even have animals in the park. They have an aviary. Mm-hmm. They have birds. They have reptiles. They have a whole show about that. They have horses and donkeys and pigs, and they're fantastic, and they bring them into the park, and you can interact with them and, like, talk to their handler and, like, get to know even the animals. Even the animals are so delightful.
Jellybean the pig.
They have a falcon that, like, flies from building to building as you're walking around, and it's just incredible.
Yeah.
For everyone's sake, it is Lonnie.
It is okay.
It is
that's
Lonnie.
That's
we
what
looked
I thought.
It up. It's Lonnie.
Okay. It's Lonnie. Yeah.
That, again, that's like everything that we're doing here is to the best of our knowledge. There is so much information to be had in Evermore that it's almost impossible to retain it all. And even though we've been almost like all the time, we go all the time together. I didn't even know that they were doing parodies on songs. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't think there's been a time where you've gone where I haven't been there with you, yeah. and somehow I've missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's stuff that I've experienced that we've missed. And Chandler and I have been basically, except for I think one time, we've always gone together in the park, and we've still had drastically different experiences if we just step 5 feet away from each other yeah. and experience these different things.
Yeah, you're always guaranteed a personal adventure for you, whether you go alone, whether you go on a date, whether you go with your family, whether you go with your friends. There's always something to be seen at Evermore. Like, it's you enter into the story. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think maybe speaking from the most casual's perspective, you guys have gone an insane amount of times. I probably am the most casual of us, going maybe once a month or twice every other month or something like that. But for me, when I go and I learn something, it's sometimes stuff that you guys don't even know.
Yeah.
And you guys have gone there every single week. Just recently, I went with my sister, who has never been before. And I was kind of showing her whatever ropes I had. And it was just kind of like, oh, this is an immersive story. And she didn't have the same interests that I did. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. What pulled me into Evermore was so different than what pulled her into Evermore.
Which was like, it was the love interest.
The romances. So, duh.
Which is right. Basically just like a running rom-com. They're amazing.
It's delightful.
And they play them super well. And that's what uh-huh. That's what my sister was super into. It was just like, oh, rom-coms. They're not comedy. Some of them are.
Some of them are.
But yeah. there are romances and plots to be followed. There's mm-hmm. experiences to be had in that direction. So for her, that was like, boom, I'm there. But for me, it's like, well, someone's greedy, someone's offering gold, I'm there, right? And we can have these different experiences and yet have our own personal meaning and attachment to Evermore.
And again, that's why we're so excited to share this with you. We want to get people that haven't been excited and understanding what's going on, and even people who have been. We want to just get you more excited and doing things about this and doing... going to Evermore, being a part of the story and experiencing this with us. So as we continue to talk about these things and try to get you to come on this journey with us, we would just like to say thank you for listening. Thank you for being interested in Evermore, and thank you for being interested in listening to what we have to say. We are doing this for fun, and we want to do this for other people to again, build that excitement. And we want to say thank you to Evermore for building such an amazing park and being so dedicated to making magic happen. And as a reminder, all of the characters, all of the story is owned by Evermore, and we're again in unofficial Evermore podcasts.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at World Talkers, and on Facebook as well. Please check out Evermore's official Instagram at Evermore Park and their website evermore.com to purchase tickets and to find out more.
And we are a new podcast, we're a young podcast. Everything we're doing here is based off of the sort of incomplete picture of Evermore that we've done our best to piece together during our own time there. So we are super hopeful that we'll be able to get feedback from you on our email, on our social media accounts, and as well, your questions. Like, we have loads of things that we want to hear from you. And like, we've got hours of content that we've kind of got planned out. But your questions are going to play a huge part in that. So our email specifically is worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. Again, worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. Get in contact with us there on our social media. We want to hear from you.
And also, we just want to do a shameless plug. Rate us on iTunes. Help us to reach out to as many people as we can. And we're going to wrap up, but the one thing that we decided that we want to do as a podcast to include you, the listener, is to have what we want to call our Evermore experience, where we'll be sharing beautiful moments or wonderful things that happened to us in the park, and we want to hear what you guys did. So if you send in your Evermore experience, we'll announce it over this podcast and be like, oh, so-and-so had this Evermore experience. And it'll be a nice, fun way to end the podcast. I think we've kind of already gushed and fanboyed and fangirled all over this podcast. So
fandom.
I don't know if we're going to do an Evermore experience on this episode, but I mean, if you're quick enough, you could be on episode 2, baby. Just think about that. We are the World Talkers, and we will see you
beyond the portal.